Happy New Year, everybody. This is your host of Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Appreciate you guys joining me this evening on a shortened version of my show because of the outstanding football games that we have going on tonight. I'm going to plop my butt in front of the television and partake in a couple of adult beverages and watch some ball. It's been a good evening thus far for it, and we got I think two more games, or one game that still needs to be completed, and another game coming up that's going to be pretty awesome too. So I got a couple of fishing reports to get to, and some callers on the line. Let's see. I got a 727.
Yeah.
Rob.
What's happening?
How are you, brother?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
Fantastic. I got Mr. Becker.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. I have a 321 area code.
That's D, I guess.
Hi, D.
Hi.
How are you?
Awesome. How are you guys?
We are I'm fantastic. I can't speak for everybody, but I'm great. And Mr. Lozier.
You there?
I'm there.
Awesome.
There he goes with his Skype, trying out the Skype. You sound good, buddy.
Thanks, man.
And I guess the announcement's been made that you and Chris are going to do the Tuesday night show for a while and see how it goes for you.
Yeah, we are. Excited. Tomorrow night will be our debut, so to speak.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. As Rob is on his hiatus and taking a well-deserved break. Yeah, very cool. Look forward to it. A couple things I want to get to real quick, as I always do, kind of goings-ons real fast, things to look forward to for the upcoming weeks ahead. I'm going to start off, as I should, with the Old Florida Outdoor Festival in Apopka, Florida. I've talked about it every week now for the past, seems like, 3 months. It's February 10th through the 12th, and that will be going on over in Apopka. It will hopefully be the largest camping, kayaking, biking, and beyond, fishing, hunting, everything else, outdoor extravaganza to take place in Central Florida, and hopefully it'll become a mainstay, a yearly event, if you will. So check that out. It's oldfloridaoutdoorfestival.com is their website to check it out. They've got a bunch of sponsors and exhibitors that are going to be there, country music concerts, as I talked about before. The main sponsors of the thing are the City of Apopka, the Apopka Area Chamber of Commerce, Coastal Angler Magazine, Fishing Florida Radio, and the Apopka Chief, which I guess is their newspaper. So a lot of cool things going on out there. That just so happens to be the weekend, prior to the boondoggle down in Chokoloski, however you want to pronounce it, potato. So, you know, if you guys don't know anything about that, check it out at yakangler.com or at kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle, I believe. It'll pull it up. Yeah, should be a whole lot of fun. New Year's was fun. I didn't get to fish New Year's Eve, but I did fish New Year's Day with about 30 minutes of sunlight left. I convinced my better half to let me run out to the river for a minute and try and catch a fish to kind of start the year off right. And, I don't know, in about 15 casts, I caught 3 trout over 20 inches on top water. So, can't complain about that. D's definitely turned me on to the top water thing now, and I've become quite the top water plug-throwing freak as of the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I'll get into my last report will be from today. I went this morning and it was stupid, but we'll get into that a little bit later on. Dee, did you have a good New Year's?
I had a really, really great New Year's Eve. I did not go out New Year's Day because I was so tired after New Year's Eve. But we had gone out and right away just paddled, you know, not even an eighth of a mile, and there's tailing reds everywhere. And top water plug, just cast past them and through the tails. And, man, that was such a great thrill seeing them come and just, you know, nip at it and then all of a sudden just crush the top water plug. What a great fight. I had such a great time. That was my biggest dread on top water plug, was a 36.5-incher. So that was fun.
That was a beautiful fish.
Yeah, and then the goal was to find some black drum. Unfortunately, they didn't show up until sundown, so there wasn't enough time to actually fish them correctly. We ended up, we as being Vicky and I had gone out, and we ended up landing, we did a double hookup on some reds, again, 36 inches instead of the red drum. They were all mixed in, and you couldn't really tell because of the sun going down what was black, what was red tail, and that kind of thing. But, man, I'll take it any day. It was all day long it was doing that. Top water plug all day long, and, of course, you know, you switch over to soft plastic jerk-style baits and shrimp-colored buzztails is what I was using from 12 Fathom. We were landing trouts and reds all day long. It was awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw the pictures. That was looked like a freaking awesome day. And I'm hoping we'll see what the schedule looks like for the boys for Wednesday. But I'm really hoping to be able to hook up with you and go if the weather holds. So
excellent.
But Rob, how did you do? Did you go fishing at all for New Year's Eve or New Year's?
Yeah, yesterday had a really good day on the Anclo River. It was just a mixed bag, you know, fishing an old bridge, the old alternate 19 Anclo River bridge. Got some flounder off of that, and on when we first got there, the beginning it was a outgoing tide, and it was really weird. I caught a sheep's head on a DOA curly tail. First time ever catching a sheep's head on a lure.
Awesome.
So that was kind of weird. I was shocked. I mean, you can probably tell from my my latest video that up there on Facebook. You know what exact? You know, I was really shocked, and then was you know kind of just milling around, a couple of more flounder here and there, and then once again, you know, I'm constantly surprised by these big trout, and they always show up where you least expect them. So I was, you know, the area that we were fishing was, you know, pretty much predominantly, you know, snook, redfish type area that we were looking for. And it was a really deep area in the river with you know, some oyster beds and stuff like that. And sure enough, I thought I felt something thump it. And, you know, I started reeling in, and it felt like I was snagged on the bottom, you know, fishing around a lot of oysters, and it was a deep hole and stuff. So sure enough, the line starts moving. And I pull it up, and it is just this massive trout. I mean, it was fat, heavy fish. And when I went to pull him out of the water, the leader broke. I guess he got enough of the lure in his mouth to where he could get his teeth on the leader, and that was all she wrote for that. But I got it on the video, so it was cool.
Yeah, I saw that, man. It was a nice fish, for sure. Biggin'. That's awesome. You're doing a good job with those videos. I had some technical difficulties today with my new camera. Apparently, you're supposed to read the owner's manual prior to operation. So, it was no. Listen, you'd have laughed. Everybody here would have laughed if you'd have seen me acting like an idiot, trying to like pose in front of the video camera for pictures with this, you know, with the fish in my hands, and you know, walking out, hooking a fish, walking it back to the camera to show the camera, and the whole time it's not even recording me. So, like, I totally wasted, like, an hour worth of fishing time trying to, like, be in front of the camera. It was funny. But, well, that's good, man. I'm glad that, you know, you had a good trip out there, and I look forward to seeing more of those videos, dude. That bridge area looked cool. I need to get over there and do some fishing with you. I keep saying it, but I really do. Mr. Becker.
Sir.
Did you fish, sir, for the new year?
Yeah, Haywood, myself, and a couple other guys got a chance to get out to the south end of Pinellas County on New Year's Eve. And I got to tell you, after 2.5 months worth of 7-day fronts on the weekends, and every day deciding, you know, whether you're going to use duct tape or just a bungee cord to hold your hat on in the wind, getting out there at sunrise and finding a glass calm on Saturday morning with a beautiful sunrise and a beautiful morning and an outgoing tide was a... We almost actually didn't know how to fish, but I had a good time. I got seriously spanked by Haywood. He cleaned my clock, did real well on the redfish, including his first tagged fish.
Oh, cool.
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I had a great time. Paddled around a bunch. Had a good time getting out there. So it was nice to be out for my first New Year's Eve in Florida in 77 degree weather, wading around on the flats, sweating. Listen, I know that creates an unreasonable expectation for the future, but I'll do my best to get over it.
No, man, that's awesome, and I can I totally understand exactly what you're saying. When we first moved down here, our first Christmas, I was outside in shorts and a tank top, and all my friends are all bundled up in jeans and sweatshirts and stuff, and I'm looking at them like they're crazy because it was like a blistery 70 degrees outside. And but it was just awesome, man. That's cool. That's good. I'm glad you guys got out, and that's really awesome that Haywood found a tagged fish. I've never caught a tagged fish before, so that's definitely cool. Mr. Lozier.
Yes, sir.
Are you still home, or are you back down to Florida?
No, I'm back in St. Augustine. Got back today. Left the beach around 6:30 this morning.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, me too. But it's all good.
So, did you guys get out at all while you're up there?
Yeah, we unfortunately we're not down here in Florida like everybody else, so we don't have as much going on. But we got out 2 days. First day, no show on the trout. Second day, we went out on New Year's Eve, and Chris got the only fish of the day, but it was a nice 21-inch trout, and it was real exciting because it happened right at first, so I was like, all right, because the day before we fished early, got the sun get out and warm it up, and not so good, so this time we went later, and so right off the bat, she had that nice trout on, so I was like, all right, things are going to happen, but that was it. So, but other than that, no, we didn't really fish much, plus we had a... shut down up by us. We have I've talked about it before, a local discharge from a power plant, blah, blah, blah. And the only ramp that's close for us kayakers to launch, which is literally on top of it, was shut down because of knuckleheads that have been abusing the lot and, you know, trash, supposedly stealing stuff. And it's a lot that's also used for dry storage for all the big boats that come out from the summertime, all the yachts and everything. And it's a gravel parking lot and people speeding through. Well, and anyway, so the owners decided to shut it down just because it was more of a headache letting people use that ramp this time of year. So that was our intention, was to fish that body of water because that holds a lot of great trout and some reds this time of year and even some straggler schoolie stripers. So that's where we were planning on fishing. And when you know it, the week I go home, they shut it down. So the only other place we went was, like I said, to this Rudy Inlet. And that's where we did our trout catching that one day. So, but we had a good time.
Yeah, very good. And you got to spend the New Year holiday and Christmas holiday with your better half. So that's good, man. Awesome.
Yeah, it was definitely a good trip.
Yeah, awesome. Speaking of trout catching, I watched several ospreys today pluck very nice trout from the river. I don't know if any of you guys have had a chance to look at any pictures I put up from today from my trip, but I was able to snap a shot of a osprey just leaving the water with probably close to an 18-inch fish. So one of, I don't know, probably 20 trout I watched get plucked from the area where I was fishing. It was absolutely incredible. After the Ospreys had their fill, two bald eagles flew in, kind of looked around for a second, flew off. So it was kind of a cool morning. Plus, we had the front come through here on the Space Coast that I think Rob and I were talking about last night, the cold front that just pushed through Florida that's going to drop our temperatures down tonight into the 30s. That leading edge was just, it was so cool to watch that thing roll through, man. It was kind of eerie all at the same time. I wasn't sure if I was going to get rained on or if it was just, just foggy or whatever. But I put in this morning at one of my favorite little haunts, and at about 7, 7.30-ish, got there a little bit later than I wanted to, and was met with a pretty substantial wind. It was kind of coming a little out of the west, like northwest-ish. So it wasn't too much of a problem, as I knew that I'd be able to ride it kind of coming back. So that was good. But got out to one of my favorite spots, and second cast with a topwater, caught a 23-inch trout. The day just proceeded to get better and better and better and better. I ended up catching, I want to say, 20-plus trout again for like the fifth trip in a row besides the 30 minutes yesterday, all on topwater plugs, except for two I caught on a shad tail, and 14 redfish. So made for a really, really good day. And the beauty of it was I was all by myself the entire day, not a boat in sight, not another kayaker in sight. In fact, I got into a little pocket where it's real, real muddy this time of year. And I don't know. And again, I don't know if you guys saw any of the pictures I put up, but I put up a picture that I misspelt my title. Sneak attack. I spelled it like sneck attack or something. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, whatever. And what it is, if you couldn't tell, it's a redfish pushing through extremely shallow water. And the little clear-looking things that are flying all around it are all little tiny grass shrimp. So if you're curious to know what redfish eat when they're sitting in the water with their backs out of the water, that's a pretty good indication. They're eating those little tiny shrimp that are up in there. I watched that particular fish for probably 20 minutes with my camera in hand rather than a rod, which I assure you was very, very hard to do. And then decided it was time to put a hook in his face. So the picture of the fish that I have that's really, really bronze, really dark colored, laying in the kayak, that's the fish in the picture. But most of my fish that I caught today were in really skinny water. I don't know why, but the Indian River water level has dropped some 4 foot at least over the last like 4 or 5 days. I have no clue what's going on with that, but the launch spot that I usually launch at was about 4 foot lower than it normally is, and the grass flats that I'm used to fishing that are typically 1 to 2 foot deep were like six and eight inches deep, so you had to go way off the bank to find any decent depth of water, which didn't really make a difference because all the fish were in super tight to the shoreline. So in fact, it kind of made it a little hard for some of the bigger trout to ambush that topwater plug and actually grab a hold of it. Rather than coming up from the bottom and just kind of plucking it off the surface, they had to kind of come in behind it and try and swat at it as it was bouncing back and forth. So, made for an interesting day. My topwater plug of choice as of late has been the Zara Pup. Or Zara Spook Jr. They used to call it a pup, but Zara Spook Jr. In the silver mullet color. And what else? Oh, and I threw a combination of Reaction Innovation Shad Tails, Bass Assassin Shad Tails, DOA Shad Tails, and all of those were all rigged on jig heads. So, in case anybody was wondering, that's kind of what I've been throwing. Color hasn't really made much of a difference that I haven't seen. The water was really clear first thing this morning, and then as the wind picked up, as the front pushed through, it kind of dirtied up a bit. And I just stuck with New Penny and Bullfrog coming from the Reaction Innovation side of things. And it worked out great. But
I got a funny story for you about reaction innovations, if you got time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yesterday, I was it was a bad day for tackle for me because I probably got more oyster bars than anything. So, you know, I'm like running low on my DOA curly tails, you know. So I pulled out one of the reaction innovations, the, what do you call it, the gold digger color, right? And it's just like a little shad tail, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, on like the first or second cast with the thing, you know, I got a fish. Well, I'm pulling him up to the boat. It's a flounder, and he's got his, he doesn't even have a hook in him. He just has the teeth are stuck in the soft plastic. And I actually caught him that way with no hook. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I can't tell you, there's been a bunch of times where I've caught or, you know, lost at the last minute flounder that were never even hooked. You know, had a big mullet in their mouth or whatever, and they're just holding on to it for dear life, I guess, hoping they're going to win the tug of war. And then, you know, only to lose either to me in a net or they flop off. So, I don't know. But that's cool. No, and the funny thing about reaction innovations, those baits are actually a freshwater bait. They're designed for bass fishermen. And, yeah, the paddle tail that's on that thing throws off a really good vibration, as you've probably seen. My only downside to them, if there is anything, is that the plastic seems to be really soft, and one or two really good trout, and it's done. Or at least you got to, like, bite the head off it and then just rig whatever's left as far as the body and tail go. But, you know, I'm not opposed to doing that. But, yeah, they're great baits, man. In fact, over here, they make a color called white trash. And the white trash is a killer giant giant trout color. I showed Dee that bait. Remember, Dee, we were fishing that tournament, and I had those with me down there. I think it's when, yeah, that's when I had them. And it was good. They're great baits. But I'm anxiously awaiting some new stuff to try. One of these days, hopefully it'll show up. Mark Lozier. And, you know, we'll...
I got you.
And we'll put those to the test. But, man, you can't do anything wrong. The water's cold. The bait is prevalent. I don't have any answers for what's going on right now besides go catch fish.
And let me ask you a question.
Yep.
With those tailing red like you showed in that picture, what's your technique like for if they're out of the – do you lead them? Do you throw in front of them, figure out which direction they're going and wait? How do you typically address like that kind of fish?
Well, in a normal situation when the red's on sand, not mud – it's a lot easier to deal with them because they can't really disappear. When those reds are in the mud like that, they can kind of like wallow their bodies down into the mud and kind of just sink down and get out of line of sight. So it makes it kind of tough because you'll see them for a second and then the next second they're completely gone. And we're only talking maybe 4 or 5 inches of water on top of mud, you know. So, I mean, obviously the water's deeper there, but it's like a mucky mud stuff that they kind of lay in, and, you know, it kind of gives them an advantage to be able to kind of disappear. For the fish I caught today, the ones that I saw working that bank, what I would do is basically I crouched down and got as low as I could to the water and kind of eased in as close as I could. I got out of the kayak. I was waiting. And I got down as low as I could to the water level so that I wouldn't have a tall profile, mm-hmm. and just kind of sat as still as I could and waited and see, you know, exactly what they're doing. You know, the problem is when they're feeding on those little tiny grass shrimp like that, that a lot of times that they're honed in on that, and that's what their mind is telling them they need to eat. So it's like if you don't have a bait near them when they're in there feeding like that. And when I say that, not casting it at them, because if it lands near them, they're going to freak out because the water's so shallow and everything else. It's not a good situation. So, like as you said, I'll throw way past them, and kind of like let the bait just rest on the bottom until I see them start to move around again, and then I'll kind of, with the rod tip, direct the bait left or right, whichever way it needs to go, to kind of put it out in front of them. And I let it lay there. I don't try and bring it past their face. I let it lay there and let them come to it. And then just kind of, with my finger, just kind of bounce the line just to give it a little nudge. And I think it just that little bit of movement's enough to trigger their attention, and they'll snatch it up every time. If they're cruising down the bank, you can cast at them as aggressively as you want. But when they're in their stealth mode, and that fish in that picture was definitely in the stealth mode, just real slow, kind of cruising up into the mud, you got to be real slow and really pick your casts and your time to throw. So it's like, man, a couple of times I kind of got almost like buck fever, man. I saw a big giant fish come in first thing in the morning, and he was probably close to a 40-inch fish, and he was cruising that bank just like the littler ones were, and he stopped maybe 15 feet from me because, again, I was crouched down low. And I got a little bit too excited, and I threw almost right at him. And as soon as the shad tail hit the water, he just freaked out and took off. So what I did towards the end of the day, because these fish just kept coming. It was like a rotation, like one or two of them would work in this little pocket, and then they'd leave, and then two, you can watch down the other end, and two more would kind of come in, or four more would kind of come in and work in that area. What I ended up doing was just throwing it clear up on the bank and trying to, like, skip it almost underneath the mangrove tree, since there was mud between me and the mangrove trees. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I try and get it up past them and let them kind of work their way down the shoreline. And as they're getting close, I just kind of hold that rod tip low and just kind of crank nice and slow and just barely bring that shad tail into the water. So, but yeah, I mean, if it's near them and they see just that little bit of movement, they'll pounce on it because they don't have time to really inspect it and see what it is and, you know, decide whether or not it's what they want to eat. They have to either, you know, hit it, taste it, kill it, whatever, or pass on it and maybe not get another meal. So, but it was really cool to watch those little grass shrimp do the little dance across the surface, and you knew one was about to cruise into the mud because all of a sudden it'd be a big shower of these little tiny grass shrimp, and then you'd see a back would pop up out of the water. So,
nervous water.
What's that?
Nervous water. That's what we always call it. Get that.
Yeah.
Nervous water.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing when they're on the mullet. And the finger mullet are all swimming around, all happy-go-lucky, and then all of a sudden they get up close to the surface and they're kind of real finicky and kind of like moving around real quick. It's really similar to what these little shrimps were doing, but it was crazy. The biggest trout I caught of the day actually came out of that mud as well, and that was probably a 25, 26-inch fish, something like that. I didn't even see it. I was throwing out a redfish that I saw, and this big trout ate it. And in fact, I thought it was the redfish, and I was pleasantly surprised to see the trout pop up. I thought about keeping some dinner today. I was actually going to kill a redfish, which I haven't done in a very, very long time. But I don't know, man. Those fish were just so pretty up there in that dark water. I couldn't bring myself to do it. And then the trout season's opened. It opened yesterday, and here on the Space Coast, the South region. And so, but they're also slap full of roe. I mean, I know Dee was talking about it when she caught that giant flounder. She almost felt bad because it was so full of roe. But these trout are just like, man, I just want to see this epic bite continue for years to come, so I just can't bring myself to kill him. So that was my day today. It was awesome, man. I got so many pictures, and then my camera died right towards the end of the day. But this area that I went to is the same spot I took my dad to. It's the same spot I took my last set of clients to, and I had a buddy of mine join me on a trip a couple of days prior to New Year's and right after Christmas, and we just, man, killed the giant trout. It was another great day. But, you know, it's I don't know. I don't really have the answers for why the fishing here is as good as it is right now, especially for the big trout. I don't know if D does. Do you have any idea why it's been so epic?
No, ironically, well, not ironically, but it's on the Tampa side, on the Gulf side, the trout have been just as crazy in counts as we've had. So, no clue.
Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, trust me, it's
everywhere.
Awesome. And it's,
yeah.
God, it's turned me into such a topwater junkie. It really has. I mean, I'd almost rather watch a trout blow up, knock the topwater plug 4 feet in the air than put the treble hooks in its face. Like, it's just as exciting for me to see that than it is for me to catch them too. But I think I'm going to switch my hooks on my plugs to J hooks. I don't know about circle hooks. I don't know how well my hookup ratio will be with the circle hooks. Do you have any experience with that, Rob or D or Greg or Mark?
Circle hooks, yes, but on the smaller size, like a 2.
Yeah.
It works
pretty well.
It'll be a lot. Yeah. I mean, the smaller trout are not going to hook up as good as the big ones, but you want the big ones anyway for, well, I don't know. You could want the small ones. I don't know. You pick, but yeah, the circle hooks will be fine. Just get the 2.0s and you should be fine.
Cool.
Very, yeah,
cool.
So now my experience is different. I tried a little experiment when I first got some of the treble circle hooks back on the bass circuit, and I found that on top waters the hookups were almost non-existent compared to a J hook with the circle hooks, just because of the shape of the hook and because of the way the fish are hitting it. You know, you weren't getting the outside edge of the mouth hookup. Obviously, you know, you weren't getting all, you also weren't getting the dorsal fin hookup, which isn't a legit hook anyway, but I found I was getting a lot fewer successful hookups on a circle hook on top water plugs, especially. That's my favorite way to fish, is on top water, whether it's fly fishing for trout in the streams or pulling top waters down here or whatever. So that's interesting that you had that experience, because mine's almost exactly the opposite.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe it's not using the right hooks.
The nature of a circle hook would make it almost not impossible. So, but I think that just getting tight and not, I don't know. I've never tried them, honestly. We've used them a lot, obviously, for bait, and I've done my share of offshore back in the day when I had the boat going. But yeah, that's pretty interesting that it do work. Cause I wouldn't think, like I said, with the nature of the circle hook, how it's intended to work, and that's what's hard about getting people to even use them, is because everybody wants to set the hook, so to speak. So.
Well, that's the thing. The hook really has to get into their mouth and then get slid around to the corner or to the side to be successful for a hookup most of the time. So, but hey,
it works. The trout hookups, I didn't have problems with. Red hookups, I have a lot more problems with using a circle hook. So, is that what you're referring to, maybe?
I just haven't been successful with any fish hooking up well on a topwater with a circle hook. I shouldn't say that. A plug. Flies I've done well with some saltwater flies I tied on circle hooks, because the fish are generally taking that into their mouth well. But what I've found with topwaters for largemouth and smallmouth bass, and for the saltwater fish I've tried down here, is that's frequently a slap strike, and they're coming up, they're coming across it, they're coming down on top of it, they're coming from all different angles, and half the time I think the fact that you actually stick a fish on a topwater is magic, as opposed to any technique on my part, just because there's so many hook points up there and they come at it from so many different angles that a lot of the times that I've seen the redfish, they're coming down on the plug. They're not coming up at it from the bottom. They're coming down on top of the plug. So they're on the far end from where the hooks are to start with, when they're making the impact. So, but like I said, that's just what my experience has been. I'm glad to hear yours is different, and maybe it's worth trying it again with something different. So,
yeah, with in regards to redfish on topwater plugs, my experience has never been that great. I've caught more than my fair share of them on topwater plugs, but I always seem to have a hard time getting them to hook up, regardless of using the trebles or if I'm using circles or J's or any of that kind of thing, just because, like, as you said, Mr. Becker, you know, just by nature, those fish have to come down on the plug as opposed to coming up from underneath because, you know, by what nature, the way their mouth is located. But what I did do about 2 years ago, I started using some tacky weight that Storm used to put out. Storm Lure Company used to put out these little, like press-on tacky weights. And you can buy, like, I guess it's tungsten, too, that kind of comes in, like, a little tub thing. You can kind of pull out pieces of it and kind of mold it around your hooks or whatever. But what I did was I put it around the back treble hook, around the shank of the back treble hook, and in hopes of kind of weighing the back end of that plug down a little bit. So if I saw a fish coming, saw a big push coming my way, and he came up and it smacked it, and missed it, I could almost rest it, and it would drop a little bit deeper, or have a little bit of a steeper angle, so that maybe they can kind of roll up and grab a hold of it. And actually, it worked. It turned out to, you know, that was kind of like the answer to my problems as far as hooking up redfish on topwater plugs. But you know, that was just that. But these trout, I mean, the trout that I'm finding right now, they have no problem whatsoever getting anything in their face. In fact, yesterday I thought I was going to have to kill the first one of the year because he literally tried to swallow the spook. So it was kind of tricky getting the hook out of his mouth. It was way back in the back hook was all the way almost down his throat, and the front hook was like in his lip. But like through his lip, and don't ask me how that happened. Like all three hooks besides the shank were through his lip, like, you know, from the outside in, and the shank of the hook was sticking out this little tiny hole, and I don't know how that happened, but whatever. I got him all untangled and stuff and sent him on his way. But so Scuba Stan, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for the kind words there. But you know, and I've been kind of tempted too of throwing a cast net, trying to get some finger mullet and doing some live baiting, but I think that would be real successful too, especially with the way that these fish are acting right now, being almost on a springtime kind of a pattern, as we keep referring to. They're a little bit more aggressive than what you would normally see, but you know, I don't know. But I see everyone's starting to take off, man, and I appreciate you guys showing up. Got about another 10 minutes or so, and then I'm going to call it quits to go watch some football. So, but with this cold front we got coming through, that's big news. 30-some-odd degrees tonight is what we're getting down to. Go ahead.
How do you think that this cold front's going to change stuff? You know?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to...
It's a pretty significant drop. You know, the last couple of cold fronts that we've been getting, you know, aren't anything major. And then, you know, a couple of days later, it warms back up again, you know. But I think this is looking like it's going to sock us into pretty low temperatures for about a week now. And that will definitely drop the water temperature.
Yeah. Listen, I always get real nervous whenever the water temperature or the air temperature drops as low as it's going to get, because especially when you're on a good bite like we are right now. I see Chris in the chat room there, Captain Cameron, says that dead mullet. I'm not a dead bait thrower. I can't bring myself to use cut bait or really much live bait for that matter. It's just going to be a later bite. I think that there's so much bait in the river right now. There's so much forage in the river right now that even with the water temperatures getting low, I think that we're still going to have a great fishery and a great bite. But you're not going to be out in the morning at 7 o'clock. You're going to be going out at 9 or 10 o'clock, hoping that by then the sun has started to warm up the flats a little bit. You know, I saw that, Brittany. That you're a dead mullet user, you caught big ones yesterday. If you're fishing for big redfish, I mean giant redfish, you almost have to use dead bait. I mean, or some sort of live bait. That's just the way it works. But you know, I don't target those big ones very often. So you know, I'm usually looking for slot fish or just big trout, that kind of thing.
But, yeah, Rob, I think that especially those fish that were up in that mud, I don't think they'll be too terribly affected by it because that mud was really, really warm. When I was walking from sand into the mud through my waders, I could feel the difference in water temperature. So if we have, say, 2 weeks of this cold weather, then it's just going to shut it down until a late afternoon bite. But fish has got to eat, you know what I'm saying? It's just going to, you're just going to have to be patient and wait for that water to start warming up on the flats. And what you'll find is you'll find a lot of these fish will move into deeper holes. So, you know, it's, I don't know. It should be where we should be right now, if that makes any sense. We should be fishing cold water type patterns right now, but we're not. We're fishing basically a, you know, springtime pattern. So, I don't know. Dee, what's your thoughts on the cold water that's or the cold weather that's coming?
The things that I notice, the water will be colder, yes, we all know that. However, like you said, there's going to be the sand hole pockets that are being warmed by the grass areas on, you know, the 1 foot depth. So you'll find smaller redfish and smaller trout sitting in those holes in the morning. So if you're going to fish, like try to fish the west side of any bank, obviously, because the sun is coming up. East side is getting covered by mangroves, so it doesn't warm up as quick. So, you know, if you're going to fish, go to that side. The bigger fish, like, 25, 30 plus inches, they're going to be in the deeper waters. They're going to be in 4 or 5 foot waters. So if you want to get up early and see if you can find tails, you'll find them in, like you said, muddier waters, but in deeper waters. And the smaller fish will be more in the shallower waters. They don't need as much of the sun to rejuvenate and be active. So that's what I would shoot for. I still, personally, I like getting up early. So I would be on the water already paddling by 6:30, 7 o'clock just to get to my spot. If I could, you know, if I don't freeze.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty much the consensus. I mean, it's as we say, it's wintertime pattern. I mean, you either get up early and
right.
go and just deal with it, or you wait until the water warms up a little bit. And you know, if you're fishing for those big reds and big black drum and stuff, You're going to be chucking bait. You're going to be chucking big topwater plugs or small topwater plugs if you're D and you're awesome. Because I can't ever seem to get those big ones to eat anything near artificials. They always want that natural stuff. But the slot, I think, Rob, I think the slot fish and the rats and the trout, I think they're all going to be fine with just this quick cool down. It's just going to be a matter of finding those areas that's going to hold a little bit more warm water. As Dee said, the potholes, the mud bottom, you know, there's just so many.
Any runoff, you know, anything that has a creek type thing or culverts, you know, look for those. You'll find warmer water coming out of those because those are all silty bottoms and they're dark, so they're going to cook, the water will cook quicker. Or you could even find those trout way up in those culverts. You know, some places will hold a lot more, you know, just tons of trout will be found in there. Some tarpon will be in there. Chuck, you know that.
Oh, yeah.
And once in a while you might find a snook up in those areas. You could walk those mosquito culverts that they created for the mosquito control, and you'll catch tons of fish in there. You don't even need to be in a kayak.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it kind of comes down to the same thing that I found today. You know, there was a small little creek that was coming out of the mangroves, and that was slowly kind of just trickling into the river. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that the bottom there stays as muddy as it does, and also, too, it held so many fish. So, you know, just remember, it's the wintertime. You got to do what you got to do in the wintertime, which is the same thing you'll do every winter. You know, that's why Florida Sportsman Magazine has become a pamphlet, because it's the same information every single year for every single season. It never changes. It's, you know, next January we'll have the same exact conversation and we'll talk about basically the same tips, you know. I mean, really, hopefully it'll be as good as it is right now, but I mean, for the most part, it's kind of all the same. I saw Chris had a question in the chat room. He's been launching over off of the 520 by the Cape Canaveral Hospital and asked if there's any good spots over there. And the answer to your question, sir, is yes. The Cape Canaveral Hospital flats, the area around the hospital itself, are pretty good. The flats there to the south of the bridge, all the way into the east shoreline, are pretty good. Let's see. What else is going down? I'm trying to think of other places to go. Let's see. I don't know, man. Chris, just call me when you get off of the when we get off of here. If you need a tip of where to fish, man, it's been so good north of 520. I'd stay away from the 520 area, honestly. It's move a little bit further north, and you'll find plenty of fish. The only problem with fishing down there is there's a lot of fishing pressure. And up here, even though it's getting closer to Titusville, just not as much. I saw real quick too in the chat room, Irish Gene. I talked to you the other day, and I'm glad to see you caught some fish. Good deal. Awesome. We'll have to hook up sometime and do some fishing together. But yeah, Chris, just you know, and there's no magic spot really. There's areas that hold fish more than other areas, and you'll just learn that the more you fish in the river and stuff. And as soon as you get a kayak or something, or if you just want to borrow one of mine again or whatever, just let me know, man. We'll get you out there, put you on some fish, and show you where they're at. But
I got to tell you a funny story before you get off the.
Yeah.
Before you get off and go watch your football game. So we pull up yesterday to the put in, right? And I threw a picture up on Facebook, but there's a deer rib cage on there, man. And you know, just right there, like half in and half out of the water. And as I'm looking, there's a deer head right there along with it. Like, I mean, it was fresh. It wasn't like, you know, just bones or something. I mean, it looked like it had to be in there for a couple of hours, I would imagine, you know, because you throw stuff like that in the water and the crabs get to it in no time, you know. So it was there, and there was also four deer legs strewn about. So Santa made it home with all of his reindeer. yeah, I don't think it was an alligator or anything like that, because you'd probably never find that kind of stuff there. But also, there was a bag of nasty, stinky shrimp with a couple of kind of mullet in it, and a brazier was laying on the ground. Sorry, Chip. But I was like, wow, man, this is the place, you know?
Dead deer, dead mullet, dead shrimp, bras.
Yeah.
The party.
Yeah. I was looking for the beer. Maybe somebody left me a couple or something, you know? That's right.
Oh, that was loud.
Oh, man. So anyway, yeah, that was the...
my show always seems to take a weird turn towards the end.
That was fairly humorous.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, I was gonna get to something and I forgot all about it. Oh well.
Sorry.
No, not you. Me. Trust me. Let's see. Thinking. Bueller. Great. Chris said, "Are you sure it was a dead deer that was in the water?"
Hey, you know, we could tell some, like, make up some redneck stories with just, like, okay, you pull up to go kayaking, deer parts, a brazier, and a bag of sticky shrimp. Go.
Right. Let's see how many comments we can make in 30 seconds. No, let's not do that. Chip will get, Chip's blood pressure will start to go up or something. He already put on the weird face in the chat room.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, guys.
Sorry, Chip.
Cool weather coming down. It's gonna get cold, but the fish will still have to eat. what I told you earlier is pretty much the same thing I would do if I were going tomorrow. Is that you, Rob?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, that was Rob. I had to mute you, buddy. It's you got a lot of background noise.
Oh, sorry.
No problem. Anyhow, yeah, Chip's happy. So if I were going tomorrow, I'd do the same thing I did today. I'd look for the same areas, the soft bottom, you know, dock areas, the areas in between the docks, look for sand holes, that kind of thing. I'll tell you a real quick cool place to go and fish if you haven't fished it yet and you live over here on the Space Coast. The area between 528 and 520 in the Indian River on the south side of the bridge. The docks that are on the east side that go all the way down to 520. That is that's a great place to go and fish. I can't tell you how many trout are on that flat. There's zero vegetation. There's not a stitch of grass to be seen anywhere on that entire flat that I found up around the docks. So it's just sand. And which makes for it makes for kind of a tough sight fishing opportunity, because you have to look at all the sand as opposed to just a pothole or, you know, a small little area of sand. Now you're really having to focus on the area as a whole. But man, the trout are just stacked up thick in there right now, and they're all nice fish. All right, talking anywhere from, I think the smallest one I pulled out of there is around 16, 17 inches, all the way up to 25 plus inch fish. So that would be the place I would go to if you're local, Chris and Brittany, if you guys wanted to go and try and find some fish here, some big trout and stuff, get on them. The topwater plugs have been killing it. It's been really, really good. Let's see. Oh, Captain Chris is asking if anybody is interested in taking their kayaks offshore to catch some big kingfish. The kingfish are thick off Port Canaveral right now, out in about 60 to 80 foot of water, and you can go out there and catch all you want at the moment. So if you should so happen to be lucky enough to find a weather window now that we've got the front starting to move in, then you should do good. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Brittany's asking where I was when I caught the reds that were so colorful. Those are the fish that came out of the mud. So, you know, I guess it's just kind of the way it is. The darker the water, or the darker the bottom, the darker the fish. Because that big trout I caught in that shallow water was super dark. He was almost bronze across the back. That's why I thought it was a redfish at first. So that's that. If you want to catch pretty redfish, pretty colored redfish, then you can go and find dark bottom or mud bottom. And usually those fish are super, super copper. So yeah, that's the answer to that. But D, besides Wednesday, do you have any trips lined up?
I had one that canceled. Unfortunately, he couldn't work some stuff out with his fishing partner, so that's a no-go. But there's a couple more after that, and I'm looking forward to taking Chip out as well with his little clone. But there's a few more after that. So, yeah, it'll be a pretty busy month. I've got almost 1 to 2 every week, so I think I'm pretty happy with that.
Good deal. Good
yeah.
deal. Yeah, when is Chip coming down? You texted me about
to the 16th, I believe, and he's fishing a couple days with me, or one, I'm not quite sure, and I guess with you as well, so...
Cool.
I have him blocked out for like the 13th and 14th.
Cool. Awesome. It'll be fun. I like fishing with Chip and the clone. The clone clone is like a ninja. He gets better and better every time he comes down. So But awesome. Brittany, Brittany, you wanted to know where I was. I was north of 528, somewhere between 528 and Titusville. I could just see it now on the Florida Sportswoman page. Oh, red, colorful redfish coming out of Chuck's favorite spot, blah, blah, blah. Just kidding. That's horrible. All right, well, I almost made it to my full hour, and I was only planning on doing like 20 minutes or so. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys coming on tonight and spending some time with me. I'm glad everybody has made it here safe and sound and got through the holiday. That's always good. And, you know, like I always say, if you guys have any questions, any further questions about where to find fish or, you know, how to get, you know, on the bite or what to throw or what to use or any of that kind of thing, just get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me through my email. It's chuckskayakadventures@hotmail.com. If you want to book a kayak trip with either myself or D, give out your information.
321-394-6874 is my cell. And you can email me directly at dee@realkayakfishing.com. And all my information is on my website, realkayakfishing.com. Or you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/realkayakfishing.
And you're doing a seminar this month?
I will be at the Strike Zone on January 17th at 7 o'clock, talking about winter tactics in the Sebastian Inlet area versus the tactics up in the Northern Indian River Lagoon, which is what you and I were just discussing with everyone else today. So
there you go.
I have half the seminar done because we already know what to do up that way.
That's awesome.
I have 5 minutes left.
Yeah. That's cool. So there you go. If you guys are in the area and you want to stop by Strike Zone and hear D basically give you more information in an hour setting than you probably would learn in 5 years of fishing by yourself, then show up and take part in that. That'll be good. And it's free, I think.
Yes, and it's done through the Orlando Kayak Fishing Club, but they're trying to start one down here in the Melbourne area because a lot of people down south can't get all the way up to Apopka. It's like a 2-3 hour drive for most people, like me. And so we're going to start it down this way, and they will be giving out raffle prizes and stuff. They normally do that kind of stuff. And I think they might have drinks and stuff too. So come join us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure Sean doesn't mind if you bring adult beverages with you either. I'm pretty sure that's not a problem.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
I won't bring any.
Oh, I will. So we can partake afterwards. Anyhow, Kayak Kevin, I see you're in the chat room, man. Watch the DVD. It was awesome. If you guys haven't had a chance to check out his latest installment of his DVDs, do so. I think it's kayakkevin.com. Pretty sure. Kevin, type it in. But yeah, check that out. It's pretty awesome. The Old Florida Festival, once again, I'm going to plug that thing until February 10th through the 12th. The Old Florida Festival in Apopka, Florida. Come on out and check it out. There's going to be all kinds of crazy stuff going on out there. The Swamp Brothers from the TV show Swamp Brothers will be there. They're going to have a kids corner and all kinds of fun stuff going on. Trick shooting, demonstration, I guess, and all kinds of stuff. Dock dogs and fun activities. But yeah, check that out. Again, that's the weekend before the Boondoggle down in Chokoloskee. Check out that at the Boondoggle information would be at kayakfishingradio.com/Boondoggle, I believe, Chip. I'll get it straight one of these days. No, Turtle Man's not going to be there. Unfortunately, Chip, I wept a tear about that. Actually, I wanted to really meet the guy and yell weird noises with him. I don't know where I'm going with that. YakAngler.com is your ultimate kayak fishing resource. Please check those guys out. Become a member of the page. It's a great resource for all things kayak fishing related. A bunch of good people on there. Most of you guys I know are already members, but those listening to the podcast, please do so. Check out my website, which will be changed shortly to redfishchuck.com, but for the moment, it's chuckskayakadventures.com. If you want to do a trip with me, just get a hold of me through that. My cell phone number is 321-302-6204. What else? Oh, Tackle Webs. Check out Tackle Webs. Tacklewebs.com, I believe it is. I'm bad about all the .coms tonight. I'm watching football and trying to go through this stuff all at the same time. YakAngler.com/boondoggle. Thank you, Chip. And that's it. I'm done. I'm sure I'm missing somebody, and I apologize for it, but I got football in the brain, so I'm half retarded right now. Appreciate you guys joining me as always, and I look forward to doing this again next Monday night. Please feel free, again, if you have any questions whatsoever, get a hold of me. If you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, please become my buddy. I want to be your friend. And as always, Trey and Logan, please sleep well for Daddy tonight. I am a tired man. Good night, everybody.